Good evening, everyone. It's 6 o'clock. We're going to call the meeting to order. Madam Clerk, could you please determine if there's a quorum?
There is a quorum with all members present.
Thank you. Which of our board members has the board goals in front of them to read? Member Gaddis? Thank you.
Metsu Borough School District vision, mission, beliefs, values, goals, and objectives. Our vision is the Metsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Our mission, Metsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Our beliefs, we believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Our core values, stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, and lack of reprisal. Goals, we will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Our annual objectives and accountability are assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Thank you. Ms. Aubrey, could you lead us in the flag salute and pledge of allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is our first meeting after the borough elections, and I'm going to turn this section over to our superintendent, Dr. Paramo, to deal with the oath of office for our board members.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to perform the oath of office with our board members, Mr. Larson and Mr. Cordero. Please know that as per Alaska Statute 1412090 and School Board Policy 9224, school board members, before taking in office, shall take and sign the following oath. At this time, could I please have the two school board members stand?
Do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States
and the Constitution of the State of Alaska,
and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially
discharge my duties as school board member to the best of my ability.
Congratulations. Now that the oaths are completed, according to this statute, 141470, and our policy 9120, within 7 days of the certification of the oath of office, the school board shall meet and elect one of its members as president, one of its members as vice president, and one of its members as clerk. At this time, the nominations for president of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School Board are now open. Please know that a second is not required, but board members may receive seconds to indicate endorsement. No one can nominate more than one person for a given office. If there is more than one nomination for any school board office, voting will be done by a secret ballot. The ballots are then turned over to the secretary, and the prevailing person is announced verbally by the secretary, which is Stacy Escobedo. In the event that three or more are nominated for any school board office and no one individual has a majority of four or more votes, a brief recess will be taken, after which time another vote by a secret ballot will be taken. If a majority vote is not cast for any nomination after the third vote, the meeting will be recessed until the next regular school board meeting. At that time, each nominee will have the choice to state why that particular office is desired. So at this time, board members, once again, the nominations for president of the Matanuska Susitna Board School Board are now open.
Dr. Parema? I move to nominate Michael Dunleavy for the office of president of the board.
Thank you.
I move to nominate Neil Lacey.
Thank you.
I move for Sarah Walden to be nominated.
Okay. At this time, we have three nominations. Are there any other nominations? Okay. At this time, we will take a secret ballot vote, and the majority of the board must select the president. And once again, if that doesn't happen, we'll take a recess and come back and vote again. I will request that Catherine Essery verify Ms. Escobedo's vote at the time.
Thanks.
Have all ballots been collected? It has been announced that Mike Dunleavy received the majority of the vote and is president of the Matsu Borough School District. He will remain president.
Thank you. Okay. So next in line for nominations would be for vice president. It's open to the floor, open to the board.
I'd like to nominate for vice president Eric Cordero.
I'd like to nominate Sarah Walton.
Are there any other nominations for vice president? Okay. It's closed at this time, and we'll vote.
Did you vote twice?
Yeah, you're on to me.
Welton. OK, Okay, the next office open is clerk. Are there nominations?
I nominate Susan Powger.
Are there other nominations? Do you accept?
I
do. Congratulations. So that closes our reorganization of the board. Thank you very much. Okay. This takes us down to item 4, which is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Is there any objection to approving the agenda? Agenda is approved. This takes us down to our first persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Once again, I'll read the guidelines. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 2 or 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comment should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard or may be handled in executive session or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board member or any board meeting, shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room clear if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. It's a maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have anyone that wishes to speak before the board?
Yes, Mr. Michael Carson.
Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening. My name is Michael Carson, a recovering MATSU teacher. I am currently on the board for the Coalition of Housing and Homelessness. I'm the co-chair of the My House Task Force, My House MATSU Youth Housing, and recently joined the Community Justice Coalition with Ms. Welton. Tonight I wanted to amplify the Saturday school event at Burchell. There was a central office person there, I believe was tallying the number of students in attendance, but not providing any kind of assistance for those kids from the school district. That sentence ends with a question mark. However, there were dozens of community volunteers there providing assistance to homeless kids. Most of these folks were from St. David's, and there were individuals from the Palmer Kiwanis. These were the same individuals that organized the clothing collection drive at the Potato Bowl, and those collected clothes were given out to free to anyone that needed them at Saturday school. These were the same volunteers that sat with kids getting to know their stories. As you may have read in the paper, there were 4 professional hairstylists there providing free haircuts. Nothing better to boost one's self-esteem than a new do. Breakfast and lunch was also provided from individuals from the community. The paper reported that there were 262 students at Burchell, and 102 of them identified as homeless. Basically, no stable, regular place to call home. But what wasn't reported was the number of unaccompanied youth. Those, no caring, supervising parent or legal guardian. That stands at 60. And not all those 60 kids leave home because they don't want to follow the rules and want to be homeless. That's crazy thinking. Alcohol and drugs make it challenging. Homelessness makes it devastating. But unaccompanied, no caring, supervising adult makes it incomprehensible demoralization. Now, it is my understanding that 3 central office persons attended a state conference in Anchorage on homelessness for 3 days, but no one attended the last My House meeting, and they said they were coming. That sentence ends with a question mark also. Lack of communication was one of the liabilities stated by the district in response to the summary document conducted by Agnew Beck, the research consulting firm that interviewed key players regarding the homeless population. Lack of communication. I concur. Tomorrow there's a general membership meeting for the Coalition of Housing and Homelessness at 10 o'clock. West Valley Medical Building, room 220. The My House meetings are the first Thursday of the month, and they're at Wasilla Bible behind Burchelle at 10:30. I leave you with one last question. Who is responsible for these unaccompanied youth? Thank you for your concern regarding our unaccompanied youth.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, no other, is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak before the board on non-agenda items at this time? Okay, seeing none, we're going to have another section later in the meeting for folks to come forward if they wish. This takes us down to borough and city reports. Are there any borough and city reports at this time? Seeing none, this takes us down to administrative reports. Are there any administrative reports at this time? Dr. Paramo?
No, Mr. President.
Thank you. Takes us down to item 7, superintendent update, student advisory board report. Member Delana, do you have a report for us?
I have a brief report this evening. Today, the student advisory board met at Career and Tech High School. We discussed our leadership conference, which is upcoming. We have our speakers and workshops that we would like at our conference this year confirmed, and we're hoping by November 1st to have our keynote speaker secured for our date. We're also looking at doing online registration in order to save paper and be more friendly to people who are working with technology. We also went over parliamentary procedure. We're trying to follow more of a standardized meeting formation and working with kids on how to work through that process. It's sometimes difficult when you first learn about it. We're also working with the woman who works with the homeless children in the Matsu Valley, and we're working on a hygiene drive for products for these children who are in transition. We're hoping to collect these products at our leadership conference and be able to distribute them to all of the schools. We're hoping that each school who's in attendance will provide at least enough for 15 students with these hygiene products. That is all. Our next meeting is on November 16th at Houston High School.
Thank you. Are there any questions, members of the board? Thank you. Dr. Paramo?
Thank you, Mr. President. I did want to provide an update. We are, this is our 13th day of count for the official count in the state of Alaska, which determines the revenue that districts will receive for their students. And please know that MATSU is holding at about 99.6% of our projected enrollment. And at this time, students are moving to different attendance areas, which is very common. We have about a 40% mobility within our schools. But we will keep you updated with that and those dollars that go along with the changes. We've changed, just to give you a picture, we had more students today than yesterday, but the revenue projection for the students yesterday was a higher amount. And the reason is that all of our attendance areas, when you plug them into the state formula, account for a different number or a different revenue. So whether they're in a large school over 1,000, a small school site, an alternative school, a charter school, these are all single site generations and they have a different number attached to them. And so we'll continue to keep you updated on those, but really until the count is certified, the exact revenue we can't determine until we really determine where the students finally stay, the mean number over those 20 days. So we'll provide that, but we do have today 16,000. Oh, we have more than that. 17,334 students attend Matsu Borough Schools. So that's up about 400 from last year. So we're doing well. Thank you. In addition, I did provide written reports to the board on the update on fiber, busing, which was requested at the end of the last meeting, our fund balance, some information on a program called Advanced Path, as well as the update on going paperless as a board. If I have the team here, the cabinet, that certainly can answer any questions at this time. during this superintendent's update, wanted to offer the opportunity to address those items if you wish.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the board for Superintendent Perromo? Member Pauscher?
I've had a few questions and comments from people in the public wondering about the busing situation. So I know we do have a written report here about the busing situation, but for people in the audience and other people who might be interested, I was wondering if we could have a quick overview of that.
Through the President, I would like to request Mr. Forrest update live.
Members of the board, we are continuing to work with First Student. They have fallen behind in some of their contractual obligations, specifically the activity buses, which were part of the new contract, have not yet been delivered. We believe that they will be delivered in time to be in service by January. Those 10 activity buses, along with 6 dedicated activity drivers, will allow us to provide a higher level of comfort for people taking activity trips. These buses come with full undercarriage storage. And in addition to that, having those 6 dedicated drivers in these buses would allow midday field trips to not be constrained to a short period of time between routes. And so that's part of the contract. It's part of our liquidated damages discussion, which you received. First Student is working hard with Bluebird, the manufacturer of the buses, to get them here as quickly as possible. In addition to that, we had the cameras. Each bus was supposed to have 2 digital camera recorders that recorded both sound and video upon the opening of school. We're happy to report that First Student has now completed the installation of all of those cameras. That occurred about a week ago, but up until that point, they were having some delays. First Student is working with their drivers. As you know, they had to hire quite a few new drivers. Some of the drivers are just, they're having a more difficult time adjusting to driving a school bus than others. Some, for example, when students did not show up at a bus stop for 3 or 4 days in a row, they kind of made their own decision to just skip the stop. That's been corrected. We have, we're working on an issue with regard to the idling time of buses. We can monitor that. We have full access to Zonar, their system, which tells us that. We've had a few late routes, but that has been pretty much they're getting that corrected entirely. And as we reported earlier, we had some difficulty that first weekend of school with First Student not being able to meet all of the field trips. We did handle them by the Mat-Su transportation team contracting with other vendors. Since that weekend, First Student has met all field trip obligations. In fact, has added 2 other tour buses, and they are providing those buses for a very small additional charge, $3.98 more an hour. The students get the opportunity to ride in a motor coach on a field trip. And so those 2 buses, of their own accord, they brought those down, refurbished them, and they're operational today. So we're working with First Student. We believe that things will be much better as we progress through the year. They have other buses on order to start replacing the fleet.
Any additional questions of staff? Member Larson?
To the superintendent, if I may. The one section, I went over some of this with staff earlier, so I wouldn't ask too many questions. But the one section about administration and on the fund of transportation from the state, can you kind of go over that, what's going on with that, please?
We built the transportation budget based on recommendation from the Department of Education, DEED. And we were informed that it would go up approximately 1.8%. The reimbursement per eligible pupil. Unfortunately, that was not the case. We were not informed of that. We weren't alone. They didn't inform any school district of that. As a result, our per pupil transportation reimbursement amount remained the same at $768 per eligible pupil. That we are currently estimating that if the Department of Education is not able to get that corrected with a retro payment, that shortfall will be about $299,000 in this fiscal year. In addition to that, as we have indicated during our budget presentations, the Department of Education stopped increasing the per pupil transportation reimbursement rate in an effort to draw down fund balances of all of the districts in the state within the transportation funds. I'm happy to report that they've been totally successful with that. We will have no fund balance, as will none of the other four large districts. So the top five districts have either already depleted their transportation fund balances or will this year. Anchorage is already in a deficit, as is Juneau, about $500,000 in deficit already. So we are looking at a shortfall in this district if they are not successful in obtaining the funding of about $2.3 million, which we presented to the borough as part of our budget, that we would, if we are unable to cover that, we would be going to the borough to cover that shortfall.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, this takes us down to item 9, consent agenda. Is there a motion to move the consent agenda?
I make a motion that we move the consent agenda.
Second. Motion moved by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Cordero. Is there any objection to moving this agenda?
Excuse me, you do have to read it off into the record.
Okay. Would you like to do that?
I can. This is the minutes of September 21st, 2011, item B12-037, the recommendation for certified new hires, and item C12-038, the recommendation for retired rehires.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor. It's seconded. Once again, is there any dissent? Seeing none, consent agenda motion passes. This takes us down to an executive session. Is there a motion to move us into executive session?
I move to go into executive session matters, the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of government unit, subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion, matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation, and today is student expulsions, and in the executive session is the school board, Mr. McPhail, Superintendent Paramo.
So motion has been moved by Member Welton. Is there a second?
I second it.
Seconded by Member Lacey. Is there any reason not to go into executive session? Motion carries. So we're going to take a 5-minute break and go into executive session. Motion made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Pauser to come out of executive session. This takes us back into the regular session. This takes us down to item 11, action items. First item is A, 12-030, resolution 12-002, land transfer for New Wasilla Library. Is there a motion to move this item?
I move A, 12-030, resolution 12-002, land transfer for New Wasilla Library.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion moved by Member Cordero, seconded by Member Lacey. Are there members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
My name is Bert Caudill. I'm the Deputy Administrator for the City of Wasilla.
And I'm Archie Giddings. I'm the Public Works Director for the City of Wasilla.
In your packet tonight, you should have received a three-page kind of a map on the total acreage, which is 21.7, which is encompasses the middle school. And then also there's actually a picture on the second page that might be a little bit better to look at. And then on the third page is off the borough tax records to show what the total acreage is. So, and then while you were out on your break, I also handed out our latest statistics on the library, and you'll see that our current library on a year averages just over 320 people per day through the doors. And the reason that number is could, on one sense, be considered low is because that's all the people that can get through the door. And the reason it's that high, it was probably any higher, it'd probably be a box store. So that's a lot to have 320-some people come through your door every day, 6 days a week on the average. So tonight is the first step of helping the 97,000 people that went through that building last year get into a bigger building and increase that number. The location, it's been basically a 10-year study to get to where that location is being requested now. And what we're hoping to do in our discussions is help also the children or the kids that go to school at that middle school, I mean, with the proximity of this. What's not shown on these maps is also the parking. We would hook up the parking with the middle school, as it currently sits, to the new library. So that would help improve the rotation of the buses, transportation, just access. So what we're looking at is approximately a 24,000-square-foot library. And as stated in the resolution in front of you tonight, and to keep everybody on track, we have a 10-year use-it-or-lose-it clause. So in other words, either do something or it goes right back to you. If this is passed tonight, our next step will be go to the borough assembly. And we've already started meetings one-on-one with the borough assembly members to because ultimately we have to have their approval. But you're our first stop. So we're excited about this. I hope you are excited. You have a chance to change a lot of people's lives in the future by this. So, and we're here to answer questions. And Archie is our engineer and public works director.
Thank you. Member Pauser.
I realize that the Wasilla Library is very small. When I've gone there, I know it is. It is very small. How big of a library are you planning on building? Is it going to be a building big enough to last for 30 years with the growth of the area? What are those plans?
Yeah, we're looking at a 24,000 square foot building, and it'll take quite a bit of growth. But the Wasilla doesn't want to have like a Lusac library. We don't want it. We like our small town feel. That's the biggest small town feel we can do. And if there's more demand, as if now like in Fairview, Loop, Connect, Point McKenzie area, that would just take another library to keep up with the long range beyond 20-year growth.
And the cost associated with this right now is $14 million. That's about what we can afford to. So construction cost is about $14 million.
Member Gaddis?
Well, I haven't gone to the Wasilla Library since my kids were probably in elementary school. And quite frankly, the reason I haven't is there's no parking spot. I drive a big Suburban, and when my kids were little, we spent a lot of time at that library. So I would ask you, how many parking spots for Suburbans or larger vehicles will you have around that library, or do you have planned, I should say?
There's plan for up to 2 acres of parking in all the city. The city requirement is a 10 by 20 parking spot, which fits a Suburban.
Well, I hope so.
I
know what you meant. Yep. I guess my point is I know that the library in the city of Wasilla, the parking place, is just not adequate to accommodate it. So I personally like where this is located on the corner. I can see where the schools would benefit, and I think the town of Wasilla does as well.
Go ahead. Yeah, we have our own planning code. It defines a number of parking spaces for a new building, and we would certainly meet all that.
Member Larson.
Yeah, I have a long dissertation or discussion after you're done with these two gentlemen.
Okay. Any other questions for the folks? Thank you. Is there a staff report?
We are prepared to answer any questions, Mr. President.
Okay. Are there any questions of members of the board? Any questions of members of the board for the staff?
Yes, I have quite a few questions.
Member Larson?
You know, looking at this last meeting, it is a good idea. But my questions come with the land and centered around school land. And I'll start off with a dissertation, and then I got a couple other things to throw in there. A few years ago, I believe it was brought to my attention that Cottonwood Creek had a nature science center wanting to be part on its property, and the school board said no because that property was utilized for schools, as well as the middle school, high school have a designated amount of land for future growth as school grounds. Big Lake had a health clinic that they wanted to put in Big Lake, and we also said no, that's not a good idea for school property, because Big Lake is another one where you can expand onto that ground. In other words, each school has X amount of property for future growth. Now, Wasilla wants to put a library and cherry-pick 5 acres off of this property. Now, what about the next person that wants to come in? Say Palmer wants to build something on Palmer High School property or middle school. How much property are we willing to say, as a school board, just give up when we're looking at 20, 30, or 40 years down the line? In 30 years, for instance, I foresee some of our elementary schools being like Kinnick Goose Bay, where you have 2 schools on it, or Sherrod Swanson, because of growth. So I do have a concern with just arbitrarily giving up 4 or 5 acres without any kind of study on this complex. And how much property do we want to maintain? Although the city of Wasilla, I believe, gave up some acreage to the school district 2 years ago for the softball baseball complex. That was designated, if I remember, as recreational property for the city of Wasilla and not school property. And I don't know if Don was involved in that. Was that how that happened? Or can I ask somebody on that question?
Superintendent Paramo?
I'm going to defer to Mr. Forrest to select his staff to answer.
Don, do you have knowledge of that softball transaction?
You're going to have to come to the mic, please. And sorry, gentlemen, if you can make some room for him. Please state your name just for the folks that are listening.
Don Carney. I'm the operations and maintenance for the school district. I believe the transaction that Mr. Larson is referring to is the site selection for the new Mat-Su Day School.
No, I'm sorry, Don. What I'm talking about is when we rebuilt the softball field alongside the high school, and that land was not designated as school property. That was designated as recreational property, and the city of Wasilla had to sign that off. Although it was borough property, the city of Wasilla, I believe, had the jurisdiction on a recreational area, and they signed that over to the school district, or they did a site plan through the borough, and now it's school designated as school property, not recreational property for Wasilla.
I think what they did is through the approval of Wasilla and the actions of the borough, they redesignated the title of the land or the use of the land.
So that land was out given to the school district from, it was borough property, but it was given over to the school district, or titled to the school district from the city of Wasilla. Is that correct?
I believe the city of Wasilla was part of the approval process, yes.
Can I interject? Mr. Cottle, do you have any information on this that you can add? Do you want to come up and... If you do, I don't know.
I don't think Mr.
Okay. That's fine. So, anyway, continue.
The point I'm getting at is I'm not willing just to give a piece of property, 4 acres, or to any entity that comes in and asks for it for any particular reason, because that land's there for expansion. That land was allocated for that school district for possible expansion. But in this case, it could be a land swap. In other words, Wasilla gave the school district 4 or 5 acres. I would be willing to look at doing the same in kind type of thing, because we never really would lose any acreage. My fear is there's a lot of entities out there that would love to put buildings on school property, and there are good reasons. I mean, there's clinics, there's nature museums, there's all kinds of good reasons why somebody would want to come in and put a building on a school piece of property. So I don't want to open up that door. But in this case, what the city of Wasilla did turn the title of that property over to the school. I don't know how much acreage it was, but it was comparable acreage. If we would call this a land swap, I think this would be a lot easier going than open up the door to anybody to come in and start soliciting. And I've also heard that there's some other things out there in the wind that people want to step in and put buildings next to elementary schools and high schools because the property's there, and property's going to get thin around here as development grows.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, I just want to be clear, is a potential amendment to this motion. Is what I'm hearing. Correct? Member Larson?
The problem is I don't have everything down pat. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how much acreage was turned over to the school district, and I wouldn't mind a little bit more research on this and then bring it back forward.
Okay, thank you. Member Powger.
Mr. Carney, I remember that in the past when we go about building a school, the state tells us you need a lot. We recommend a lot of this size. So we put a school on a lot of this size. Is there any requirement by the state to continue to have that much property around an already built school?
The state has a recommended size lot for elementary, middle school, and high schools and K-12s. It's based on what they feel the recreational, the building size needs and the recreational needs of the students are. Their recommendations, once you build the building and then you choose to modify the site, they really don't get into the picture unless you interfere with the educational process by doing something really way off the wall. Generally, they rely on the school districts to police themselves in that matter.
Sorry, Member Lacey.
First of all, I am one of the 97,000 people that have used that particular library this year numerous times. I can't think of a better thing to put next to one of our schools than a library. And something to remember, as my wife tells me, is what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. And I guess my point being is this is borough land, and they can pretty much do what they want. I think we should just pencil whip this puppy out of here and have a new library.
Any questions? Any additional questions for members of the board? Questions? Okay. Any comments from members of the board? Member Welton, then Member Larson.
So I'm living in Wasilla. Actually living inside the city limits and having a business just across the street and up a block from the library. I have used the library, again, like Member Gaddis, when my kids were little, but I leave my car at my business when I walk over there, or I, you know, walk from Cars parking lot because it's just there's no place to park. But there's also no room inside the library. We need meeting rooms. We need those kinds of things. This is something that would add to the whole community. It benefit all of our students from
all of the schools, including the Matsut Central School and Burchell and all of those schools that are within the city of Wasilla. I absolutely believe that it's a good place for it. I can walk there. I think it's, you know, that's one of the things that Wasilla doesn't have that Palmer always talks about, you know, a walkable city. We want a walkable city for those of us who live in Wasilla, and I think it's well worth it to do this. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Larson. Member Larson and Member Cordero.
I'm not debating over if we need a new library. I go to this library. My grandkids go there. I know we need a new library. I have no issue with a library at all. It's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is I understand now there's a move to move like charter schools onto school property. If you continue to allow this, when does the school board say, you know, maybe we should save some of this property for 30 years down the line? I see Wasilla increasing or doubling its size, its high school. I see some of these elementary schools doubling its size, and the property's there for 30 years down the line is all I'm taking a look at. What I'm saying, this is probably an excellent area. We've already done the land swap, and I would like it to word that it is not a grant. Here, it's 4 acres off of Wasilla Middle School. More, you gave us 4 acres, and we're going to give you the 4 acres back and maintain the acreage that we have for the future. We're looking 30, 40 years down when this area looks like acreage. All the lots are going to fill up, and it's going to be a municipality, and you're going to have room for growth is all I'm saying. And if you open it up as, here, we're just going to give this 4 acres out for a good reason, why not give 4 acres out in Houston for a good reason? Why not give it out in Palmer for a good reason? You get my drift? And if that's our policy, if that's what we're going to do, then let's go ahead and set that as a policy. Let's start giving land away.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
I have to echo what Member Lacey and Member Walton said, and I think this is this makes sense and is a benefit to our kids and the students, and ultimately this is why we're here. And ultimately, the borough owns the buildings and the land, and I think that they should be the ones making the decision. And I will follow the recommendation by the administration, which is to accept this as is.
Okay, are there any other comments from members that have not commented yet? Member Gaddis?
I have comments.
I'm sorry. So we're going around. So Member Gaddis and Member Welton.
I just want to say that, you know, because this makes sense for our kids, for our community, and I don't think that what we're discussing here is a policy that will give land away or anything like that. I think specifically we're discussing giving 4 acres of land to the city of Wasilla for a library that connects our kids and our students together for a long time to come. So I don't think this is a land giveaway throughout the borough. I think it's a specific thing that we're discussing. So,
Member Welton, and then we're going to...
Just a quick comment. I have to say that I was not involved in the issues with the ball fields, but I did not believe that there was a swap there. And so I know there might have been that it was used for recreational, but I thought the properties all hooked together. I don't remember that there was one, and I'm not getting any yes there was or no there wasn't from people in the audience that may know. You were on that. I was not, so... I feel that I don't want to belabor this and have to look into what happened a couple years ago with the ball fields. I think we need to move this on. Thank you.
Thank you. I think there's a number of valid concerns. It certainly sounds like the majority of the board is in favor of a library. There's also concerns that I think are legitimate that... the property issue, there's not for lack of a better phrase, an uncontrolled precedent set. projecting out in the future for future growth. I'm going to ask our superintendent to read, at least for the listening folks, the folks on the listening on the radio and in the audience, the resolution so that we're clear as to what we're talking about. Please.
In the matter of the Matanuska Susitna Borough School District Resolution Number 12-002, a resolution of the Matanuska Susitna Borough School Board in support of deeding land located at Swanson Avenue and Cruzy Street in Wasilla for construction of a new Wasilla Library. Whereas the Matsu Borough School District supports all forms of education, including reading and access to libraries, and whereas the use of the Wasilla Library, which was built in 1978, has outgrown the current building size, averaging 1,730 users per week, and whereas the current Wasilla Library is 8,000 square feet, and whereas the new Wasilla Library would be approximately 24,000 square feet, and whereas the City of Wasilla requests assistance from the Matsu Borough School District in deeding to the City of Wasilla 4 acres of land located at Swanson Avenue and Creasy Street in Wasilla, and whereas a task force was formed to search for a suitable building site that is user-friendly to the public at large, resulting in this site being selected, and whereas the use of the core area land would add academic value to the campus of Wasilla Middle School, and whereas the construction would incorporate a new busing area that would increase the functional traffic pattern of Wasilla Middle School, and whereas the City of Wasilla would have a time limit of 10 years to start construction of a library at the requested location, and whereas if construction of the described library is not started within 10 years from the date of signing by the Matsu Borough, the described land would revert back to the Matsu Borough. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Matanuska Susitna Borough School Board requests the Matanuska Susitna Borough take the steps necessary to deed the described land to the City of Wasilla for construction of a library.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Okay, seeing none, was that a, do you want to speak? Please come up, state your name for the record.
Good evening, board members. I'm Diana Straub, and I am a Wasilla resident and have been for 25 years, and our library has been an issue, as you're all aware of, for many years. So your help tonight would be appreciated. I believe that resolutions are powerful and that your statement of support going to the Matsu Borough Assembly will be very helpful. And the sooner we could get started on what could be up to a 10-year project would be better. So your support tonight would be appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that would like to speak upon this issue? Seeing none, Member Larson, do you have a question?
A statement. One last statement, please.
Okay, one last statement, then we're going to go to the vote.
Once again, my church met in the library in 1980. I've been going to this library since 1980, so I don't want to be pictured as anti-new Wasilla Library, okay? A lot of my concern is giving up property that is school function property, because there is a lot of people out there that have a lot of excellent things for community that are looking for property. I heard it at last week at Front Terrace School is looking for property, and they're looking at school property also. The question is, in my mind, do we want to do start giving up 5 acres, 10 acres of property of a school area for good, solid reasons? Well, I'm a little bit in favor of this. When I was on the Recreation Committee, which I'm still on, that property that is now school property was given up. The plan, it was borough land, but it was designated for recreation for Wasilla, and they signed it over to the school property.
Okay.
So I look at this as a land swap.
Okay.
Okay. But again, don't paint me as an anti-library, for crying out loud.
Thank you very much. Let's vote.
I don't want to be anti-library.
Did we vote? Let's try it again. If not, there we go. Okay, it's unanimous. Motion passes. Resolution will be forwarded on to the borough. Thank you very much. This takes us down to item B. 12-039, student expulsion case, E12-001. Is there a motion to move this item? Member Welton?
I move to approve the student expulsion E12-001 as per the recommendation of the administration.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you very much. Let us vote. Thank you. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item C, 12-040, student expulsion case, E12-002. Is there a motion?
I move to approve the student expulsion E12-002 as per the recommendation of the administration.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion has been made by Member Welton, seconded by Member Lacey. Let's vote. Motion passes. It's unanimous. This takes us down to item 12, non-action items. A, 12-024, first reading. BP, 9250, remuneration, wow, reimbursement and other benefits. This is a non-action item. This item will come up at the next meeting for action. Is there a staff report?
Mr. President, we are prepared to answer any questions.
Any questions from members of the board regarding this item? Okay, once again, seeing none, this will come up at our next meeting for action. Thank you. This takes us over to item B, 12-036, resolution 12-003, employee benefits internal service fund. Once again, this is a non-action item, and this will come up at our next meeting for action. Is there a staff report?
Mr. President, we are prepared to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from members of the board? Member Larson.
I'd like a little bit more explanation on this, please.
Through the President, I request that Mr. Forrest answer the questions.
Members of the board, as you may recall, as part of our negotiations last year, we talked about forming a committee that would work collaboratively with all of the employee groups to work on the cost of our employee benefits, part of the total compensation package. As part of that, we have begun that evaluation. The committee has met several times. They have selected a consultant who's helping us work through some of the questions. And part of the answer, according to the consultant, et cetera, would be for the district to have the ability at some point in the future, because we do not have it currently, to consider self-insurance. To consider self-insurance, we would have to have a reserve. In addition to considering self-insurance, there are a number of options that would be available to the committee to investigate and then propose to their membership, who will actually make the final decision, for existing benefits. One of those would be a health reimbursement account. To have a health reimbursement account, which may afford the district the opportunity to cut the cost to our individual employees and our cost, we would like to have a reserve. To have that reserve, we are requesting the board establish this separate fund so that those reserve funds can be appropriately identified as being dedicated to employee benefits. An example of such use, should we not go self-insured, would be if we save money during the current year in our employee benefits by having expenses below what was projected, we could take that savings, move it into this fund, and then smooth out increases over a number of years. And so that's one example. So it's merely setting the fund up. It allows us to establish this fund. To move money into this fund, we would be coming back to the board and explaining to you how we would move it and what we feel the appropriate uses might be.
Thank you. Member Cordero, then Member Larson.
Through the President, Mr. Forrest, hypothetically, if this were to pass and there was a fund established, would that fund, at the end of the year, half of it would have to go to the borough, wouldn't it?
It's our opinion it would not.
Okay.
Because it is it's for a dedicated purpose, and that purpose involves a negotiated contract.
Okay. Thank you.
Member Larson.
Two questions. Would this fund be with the borough? So it would be a separate fund with the borough. And if we self-insure, do we self-insure with a whole different entity so the reserve would go with that entity too?
If we self-insure, the actual self-insurance fund would run through this fund we're proposing, while the funds would remain technically on deposit with the borough. They would be the equivalent of what's called a trust fund, and they really can only be used for the purposes of employee benefits.
Thank you. Other questions from members of the board? Seeing none, once again, this will come up at our next meeting for action. This takes us down to item C12-035, proposed changes to the AASB Constitution and bylaws. Is there a staff report?
No, Mr. President.
For the listening public, AASB, once again, is the Association of Alaska School Boards. It's the association that many school boards in the state of Alaska belong to, and they are proposing changes to their bylaws. Are there any questions of members of the board for staff? Seeing none, once again, this will come up next week or at the next meeting for action. This takes us down to D, 12-041, legislative agenda items. This item's up for discussion, and is there a staff report?
We did, Mr. Forrest and I did collectively work with the school board's legislative and lobby subcommittee. This certainly is a draft of items that the committee came up with, in addition to additions made by the administrative staff at the district, explaining different areas of the work that asking for our delegation's assistance at the legislative level would benefit the students' education here in MATSU. We can certainly discuss any of these items and provide data or explanation if needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of the board? Once again, this will be coming up next week. And seeing none, just a quick comment. As we know, it's difficult to anticipate how the legislature is going to act this year, but once again, these are items that the subcommittee came up with that it thought that the district should look at. Yes, Member Larson.
Curious, who's going to that statewide this year?
Are you talking about AASB?
November 1.
No. This item we're talking about right now is our legislative and lobbying approach as a district. We're off the ASB item.
Sorry.
That's okay. Is there any questions on this item for staff? Okay, so this will come up once again for action at the next meeting. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Member Walton?
At our meeting with the legislature next week, will we be discussing this then? Because we have not been able to pass it. We probably will not bring it up.
I don't believe it is going to be a discussion item. Member Paramo, or excuse me, Superintendent Paramo.
Yes, sir. Certainly this was not on the meeting. That meeting was kind of a get to know each other to really highlight MATSU Central School, which is a partner in the building of the LIAO office, and provide ourselves available, if you will, for a fiber update due from the capital monies that our delegation assisted the MATSU Borough School District in receiving that really benefited the entire community with fiber power, if you will. So that was the only item that we had discussed that we would share at that time. But this is really a pre-meeting, knowing that these would not move forward without the board's approval.
Thank you. With that, we're going to move down to item E, 12-042, Fronteras Charter School Calendar Amendment. Staff report.
Mr. President, the principal of Fronteras is present. Shall there be any questions?
Any questions for members of the board on the calendar amendment? Seeing none, this will come up once again at our next meeting for action. This takes us down to future items in business. I'd like to add an item just briefly. since our reorganization of the board, what I'm going to ask our board secretary to do is send out to the board members the standing committees that we've had and the current membership, and then any board members that may be interested in being on a committee, we can have that discussion, and we'll make decisions at the next meeting. So that takes us down to our October 26, 2011 meeting with the Mat-Su legislative delegation. Will be at the Mat-Su Central School. On the 2nd will be this regular school board meeting. This time that meeting will be at Butte Elementary at 6 o'clock. And November 3rd through the 6th is the AASB Annual Conference, Anchor Chilton Hotel. Is there anything we're missing? Is there anything members of the board would like to add? Member Lacey?
Yes, I have a couple concerns that I'd like to plan on bringing up in future meetings. One, at the beginning of the school year, some of our employees are brought in for registration purposes, various, and I don't believe they're being paid for that. I would like to make sure that if one of our employees, and a standing policy, that if one of our employees is working during their contract day or before their contract day and asked to be there, they need to be paid for that. The years I worked in this school district, things like, you know, you're a non-tenured teacher over there, I need you to come and do this so we make sure that you have some continued employment over the years. I think that's bad, and I'd like to look at that. That's number one. Second of all, this email thing during the last campaign cycle we had, I think we need to revisit campaigning on school grounds of all kinds. And that would be the second one. The third one, since we have AASB and they are technically a lobbyist for the school board, I would like to revisit getting away from paying for an obvious lobbyist for the school district. So those are the three things I have.
Member Larson.
For future, we're talking about future items for business, correct?
Right.
Sometime in November, after the account has been verified and everything, I would American Charter has now got second to fifth grade. Is that correct? And on their last spring, on their charter, they brought forth that the second through fifth grade kids would be at-risk kids. They said it was stated that it would be brothers and sisters of those kids that are going to that school, low social economic type kids under the Harlem school project type scenario. So in our reading file somewhere in November, I would like to know if that's what these kids are, second through fifth.
Okay.
I would also like to an update on the wood-burning boiler system and how that's coming about, if possible. And when we're talking about elections, next year's elections, we've got one or two school board members that will be running for other positions in the state. And I have no idea how that works. If you can run for school board in another position, or if you maintain the position, I think that's with the Division of Elections. And I just want all that cleared up before before we enter the election next year. At least, not cleared up, but I have no idea how that works. And maybe somebody does. I'm sure it's in the Division of Election how that works.
Any other items? Member Walton.
I just would like an update on charter properties, the leases, and where we are with those situations and the conditions of buildings, et cetera, that have to do with our charter schools. I don't have any real concerns out there other than I don't want to get blindsided by a huge lease that just shows up. So I would like, and that can go in the reading file. It doesn't have to be a public report. Thank you.
Can I add on to that? Does that include, like, Are other buildings that are leased that aren't chartered?
Sure.
Okay.
Any other items? Okay. Thank you. This takes us down to item 14, persons to be heard on non-agenda items. This will be our last section on this for this meeting. And once again, speaker can states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to two, excuse me, to 3 minutes per meeting. Speakers limit to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. Speakers' comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-aged children. Speakers limit to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributable to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may refer to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement, maximum of 1 hour per meeting. Any members of the public that would like to speak upon non-agenda items at this time? Okay, thank you. Seeing none, this takes us down to any committee correspondence or board committee reports. Member Lacey.
First off, on the 29th of September, I was at the charter school superintendent meeting. And a lot of things were discussed, but I asked them flat out, how do you feel everything is going in the district on the 29th of September? And they told me they were happy with the way things were progressing. Superintendent Peramo is going to have a series of meetings monthly, I believe, and I believe we have a good working relationship now, and at least for that. The other night I'm the school board's representative on the Academic Policy Council for the, is that what it's called? AAC?
Matthew Central?
Yes. And there's a number of things we talked about. First off, since the Mattsu Central School is a, for lack of a better term, a statewide organization, they were talking about when our students are, we have a lot of migrant students in that school. And what happens if, say, Eric's kids are in there and they go to Seward? Will they be able to stay in Mattsu Central? And yes, they will. Other things that were talked about is Mattsu Central gets 80 cents on the dollar for state money. And the talk was they wanted to make sure, try and go through a legislative process of getting 100% of that. And according to our lobbyists, that'll never happen. So, and then there was talk of special project money. And we've talked about different things that we could use that special project money for. My statement to them was whatever we do, it needs to be sustainable because last year we usurped a lot of employees, and I do not want to see that happen again. So the conversation turned to what could they use that money for. Principal Brown brought up the idea of having a satellite campus somewhere here in Palmer, and that's where we've moved from there. The thing I did get from the whole meeting was they want to take this slowly and succinctly and not jump into anything.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other correspondence or committee reports? Yes, Member Gaddis.
On October 5th, the school site selection committee met, and, of course, it was after the election, so they were quite excited that they were going to discuss and get a move on relatively quickly to get some sites selected for out KGB Road. There was talk about Valley Pathways having 155 acres, and it was dual classified. Currently, 20 acres are allotted there. So talk about Valley Pathways and going through the Palmer for clarification of the lease through the Palmer mayor. We're going to acquire the school sites by a double-blind acquisition, and there was some talk about how that would work. We discussed the Mattsu Borough official rank of priorities for schools, and as it was told during that, the number one priority is a KGB Middle High School. The second was Valley Pathways. The third was Matsu Day. The fourth was Big Lake Elementary. And I think if I can read my writing, that's a renovation. The five is a career tech addition. Six is Iditarod, and seven is a KGB elementary. Also met on October 10th for a joint district school board borough assembly meeting. And again, the school bonds were discussed. It was well attended. We got an enrollment update. We talked again about the site selection committee, and according to my notes, that pretty well covered it. Quite a bit of talk about the bonds and, you know, how quickly we're going to get on with it.
Thank you. Any other correspondence or committee reports? Okay. Seeing none, this takes us down to item comments from school board. Comments from school board administration. Dr. Parmer, do you want to start with your staff?
Yes, please. Mr. Forrest, do you have any comments? One, he said. Please, through the yes. President, please.
You need to repeat it. It's time.
It's comment time from administration. Do you have any comments, Mr. Forrest?
I do not. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Mr. Stone?
None at this time.
I would like to just speak to a little bit about what Member Gaddis stated in regard to the bonds. I did attend the meeting last night for the certification and oath of office for the assembly members, and gave a sincere thank you for the work that the opportunity to have a bond on the ballot. And Mr. Forrest and I met with Mr. Moosey at the borough level, and we understand as administration that we are charged with building the capacity, no pun intended with building, but building the capacity to have trust with our community, that we'll be good stewards of money, tax money, that they will not be wasted. And so we're starting a plan every step of the way to be transparent, to have a feedback loop. One of those such items would be that perhaps the borough handled the larger items, and the smaller items that were at schools for our elementary schools and charter schools, to really enable the community to provide as much input and as much participation in building those neighborhood schools to their liking, so that it's seen that every step of the way progress is being made and what money was spent. And we take this seriously. We have 5 years to build trust and to keep trust and to demonstrate a positive relationship with not only the assembly, but our community at large. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Mitchell, do you have any comments?
I have one quick comment. Last weekend, I attended the Alaska Association of Student Governments Conference at Service High School, and I went to an anti-tobacco workshop, and the woman who was giving the workshop works with the tobacco policy at a statewide level, and she said that the Matsu School District has the golden model for the tobacco-free policy for our state of Alaska. So I applaud everyone on your efforts with that.
Thank you. Member Cordero.
No comments.
Member Lacey.
I've said enough for tonight.
Member Welton.
Thank you for voting me in as vice president, and I will. I'm available by email and by phone. Sorry, don't text yet. I'm still in the last century there. I did want to make comments about this morning. We, the Justice Coalition, did meet. There were three members of the school district administration there, two from the administration, one was the nurse from Rochelle, and we did talk about the issues related to homeless youth and the activities of the community. And I want to thank the community that's been coming to take care of things. St. David's Episcopal Church has brought food, and they have been quite supportive of our youth in that are homeless. And I continue to say to board members that you might want to attend the Justice Coalition at least once, so that you get to know something about how the community really does work together to find solutions to our youth problems. Thank you.
Member Pauscher.
No comment.
Member Gaddis.
I have no comment.
Member Larson.
Yeah, I just want to thank the staff for their administrative updates that they have in here in their reading file. It helps out a lot to get that information. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no comment. Appreciate the vote for president, and we'll continue to do the best job I can in that capacity. And this takes us down to our executive session. Is there a motion to move into executive session?
I make a motion to move to executive session.
I'll second it. So that we
go
into matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the government unit. Subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, provided the person may request a public discussion. Matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. Matters of confidential legal counsel or pending litigation. This is a litigation update and evaluation review in the executive session. Our board members and Superintendent Paramo, anyone else? Terry Henneman?
Through the President, for the litigation update, I would ask to be present Lucy Hope, Director of Student Support Services, Mr. Forrest in the matters of financial liability, Mr. Stone in matters of education, myself, and our lawyer, Terry Henneman, please. In the second item, the members that would be present initially would be Katie Gardner, the board, and then at a time when the board felt ready, I would also go into the executive session, and Katie would leave.
Thank you. So we have a motion to go into executive session made by Member Lacey, seconded by Member Welton. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we'll move into executive session, and just for the folks in the audience, after we come out of this, there won't be any action. We will just we'll adjourn the meeting. So thank you.
Mr. President, I will be recusing myself from the litigation update portion of the executive session.
Okay. Okay, thank you. So 5 minutes, we're in executive session.